Good morning and welcome to the study of the Word of God,
Spring Valley Bible Church. My name is Chris Dagg. I'll be teaching this morning. It's my pleasure, my honor to be standing before you all. We're going to do some singing and praising this morning. We're going to do some studying this morning, and then we're going to have a special treat with our communion service as we complete things this morning. We'll start with prayer, and then we'll get into worship. But as we open in prayer this morning, and we start thinking about the remembrance service that we will have for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the communion that we will have at the end of our service this morning, there's only one stipulation for being involved with the communion service, and that's being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have not had the opportunity to understand who He is, let me tell you, He is your Savior, whether you believe Him or not. And He died on the cross for the sins of the world, and if we all take 2 seconds to look in the mirror, we recognize we are all sinners and we need a Savior. And so my prayer as we begin this morning is that every single person, whether you're in this congregation or whether you're out there on the internet and seeing this for the first time, that the Lord will convict you to faith, and that's all it takes is faith. All we have to do is believe. He does all the work. He does all the rest. And we're going to be talking about that this morning in a big way. And we will be celebrating that in our communion service. So let's open in prayer and then we will sing together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the freedom that we have to be able to gather together. We pray, Father, that that freedom will continue, but You know what will play out. Father, as we join together this morning in worship and in studying Your Word, we ask that the Holy Spirit will be with us and that the words that come out of my mouth and the understanding that we get from the study together today is glorifying to You and is made clear by Your Spirit. That's where it comes from. That's where the power comes from to understand the spiritual things, is from You. Father, we praise You for that. We thank You for that. We thank You for a beautiful morning this morning to be able to get here together. And Father, we ask for the safety of everybody in here with regards to all the crazy that's going on. And as this week plays out, Father, we just pray that that You will continue to work through us to glorify You. In Christ's name, amen. So I'm going to turn it over to Brian, and he's going to lead us in some music.
Yes. First, we're going to have a congregational song. We selected the easiest song in the hymnal. So would you join us in hymn 351, 351, Near the Cross. You stand and join us, please. 351.
Fountain, free to all healing streams.
we do have a special music presentation today. And this song was produced by James Webb and Wes Tuttle several years ago. We want to present it to Spring Valley Bible Church and everyone listening. It's special to us. It was the last song James Webb sang with us.
Yeah, we missed that guy. Miss Jim Langston. So many people. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessing, consolation, that my trials prove to only make me strong.
And I've seen lots of faces. There's been times I've felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, those precious lonely hours, Jesus lets me know that I am His own. Through it all, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I thank God for the mountains. I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. Never had a problem I wouldn't know God could solve them. I never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I've learned to depend upon His Word.
Awesome. That was beautiful, y'all. Thank you for that. We have, these aren't my notes. We have so many people that have been a part of
our lives through Spring Valley Bible Church
that we remember. And James Webb, what a character.
Yeah. It just makes me smile to think and then to hear his songs from y'all. So beautiful.
Thank you for that.
Prayer request this morning. A couple of prayer requests. So I have one from Fassel and Carrie. Today is the International Day of Prayer for our persecuted Christians. They are praying for us. We should be in prayer for them. We'll talk about this in the Voice of the Martyrs, where persecuted Christians all over the world pray for the United States. We oftentimes sit here and think, man, we pray for them, and what do we have
to offer? We have so much to offer them. Oh, it's so cool to... You know, all the prosperity. We really wish that they could have the freedom and the prosperity and all the things that we have as we think of praying for the persecuted church. And man, it's so horrible. And they turn and pray for us praying that we will come to see the light of Jesus in our country again. And so, be in prayer for the persecuted church across the world today. They are in prayer for us. Be in prayer for our country as we get ready to head into an election. There's a lot of talk about peaceful transition of power and, well, oh, will this person do that? And what about this? And are we going to argue this? And is it going to be legal? And y'all, our system is designed to fight like hell, pardon my expression. And then when we get to the answer, we transition according to the law. That's what we do. So let's pray that that all happens this week as this plays out. Now, it may be April before we actually get an answer. But whatever it is between now and then, pray. Pray that God's perfect will be seen on Tuesday. Pray that our country will return to a nation that is focused on God and that the light shines to the rest of the world. Because the outcome of the election does not matter if that is not what ends up happening. Pray. And vote. Just say, vote. Hey, that's the right that we have. That's the freedom that we enjoy. So vote. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. If you got questions about that, you need to come here more frequently. But secondly, I'll be glad to have those conversations with you afterwards. That's not the intent. Okay, but please do go vote. That's the freedom that we enjoy in this country. Please be in prayer for Tish as she continues to work through health issues. Any updates on Tish with regards to
outcomes? She was doing very well yesterday. She's going to postpone the surgery until after Christmas.
Postponing the surgery until after Christmas, okay. They'll be in prayer that she can get relief from the pain at least through that point, and that whatever happens after that, that the doctors will make good wisdom and judgment there. Pray for Herman and Judith as Herman continues to recover, and we're so glad that we'll get an opportunity to see Herman here in a few minutes. Please be in prayer for special prayer request for Ben, our son Ben, and his outfit. They lost a friend on Wednesday evening that was part of their outfit down at Texas A&M. Please be in prayer for the Corps. Please be in prayer for his outfit. Please be in prayer for Ben. He's had the opportunity to pray with his friends and his buddies down there. It was a rough several days. Many more things to come from that. Ben and his outfit had the opportunity to spend some time with the parents of the mother at least of the young man that lost his life on Wednesday. And he was a donor, an organ donor, and her response was, God may not have answered our prayer the way we wanted him to, but he answered the prayer of 16 other families the way they wanted him to. And so what a gracious, beautiful statement there. So please be in prayer for them. They're going to go through some tough times. It'll be up and down. Right now they're all, you know, like military personnel do. They're all charging forward, got to take the next step. They'll all be challenged over the course of the next several weeks with moments that will hit them. So, other prayer requests this morning, yes. Go ahead, Ms. Anell.
Yes, please keep Jeff on your prayer list. He's still having a problem with his kidney.
Okay.
Whatever is going on there.
Okay.
Well, last week when I'd asked for prayer, I was waiting on blood work to come back. That came back what appeared to be normal.
Okay.
We thought maybe it was infection. I was on antibiotics for a week. That's over. Still having the same issues. So I went in for additional blood work yesterday. Probably this week. Probably a CT scan and a follow-up with a urologist that specializes in kidney-type issues. So
okay.
I just ask for prayer there.
Prayer for Jeff. And is it time to stop the mixed martial arts stuff or what?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, right, just checking. This kidney punches hurt after a while, right? So
yeah.
Please be in prayer for Jeff. Larry?
For Brian and crew, they're in Alabama working long nights and long days.
Mm.
I'm trying to help restore power there. I'm not sure when he'll be coming back, but
wow.
Yesterday was, I don't know, they started at 6 o'clock in the morning. It was about midnight when they stopped. So.
Okay. Please be in prayer for Brian Wise and his crew, they go, they're storm chasers. They come in after the storm and they help keep the Encore and the utility trucks running. And when there's a fleet of them running around chasing utility poles that are flying all over the place from hurricanes, they have to take a lot of trucks. And so there's a crew that goes down and keeps those trucks running. It's an 18-hour, 20-hour-a-day job. And so they work very hard, and the trucks couldn't stay functioning, and they couldn't restore power like they do if they didn't have people like Brian and his team do this. So please be in prayer for their safety and for their health, because it's hard. It's a hard job. Yes.
And a prayer of Thanksgiving. Some of you were helping us be in prayer for Mackenzie, who is taking her content exam to be able to teach school next year. And she was able to pass it on her first try. So.
Beautiful, beautiful. Mackenzie is now officially licensed to be a teacher. Man, we need a lot more people with her knowledge of the Word of God and her passion for youth in the teaching industry. Praise for that. That's fantastic. I'm looking forward to, man, I can just picture her with little kids running around teaching them all the good stuff. So. Anything else this morning? Yes, sir.
My daughter Francesca, her birthday was past Wednesday. She's 29, and still nothing.
We'll be in prayer for Gigi and his family, and Francesca, who's had a birthday. We'll be in prayer for God's timing on perfect reconciliation. So, amen to that. Any other prayer requests? Brian, yes, sir.
Just for Ruth Ann Cooper, my mother, for cancer therapy.
Okay. Continue to be in prayer for Ruth Ann Cooper and the cancer therapy, and for Julie and Brian as they make several weekly trips, I guess, to back and forth to Tulsa, safety and the travels on that, and wisdom in all the decisions that you have to make in that. Yes.
I know my brother Bobby's on the list, but continue to pray for him because they changed his meds a little bit, and to me, he's getting worse.
Okay. Be in prayer for.
He's going in the wrong direction. Yes.
Terry's brother Bobby.
Mm-hmm. And his wife Gerlyn.
And Gerlyn. Okay. Yes.
Our veterans celebration is coming up November 15th. I just was talking to Terry. We pulled out the list from last year. We recognized over 180 veterans last year, you guys.
Wow.
Over 180. There are 49 submissions that were on there, some from the same people. But if everybody will recognize the veterans they've been recognizing, maybe find one or two new ones that are out there. You know, this is such an honor for them and an encouragement for them. One thing we're doing is if you want to put their address on the form that Terry's put on the job form, then our youth are going to sign cards. Phyllis has already made the cards. She's already sent 30 homemade cards for the veterans. She's already sent 80 homemade cards for our college students. So just be in prayer for our veterans, our older veterans, our younger veterans, to just be an encouragement that God has used them for the freedom of this country, and for us to continue to be encouraged by that. And Phil always gives the gospel at our celebration. We're going to keep getting the word out to the young people and hopefully have a good group out there. I don't know if COVID, who knows, but we're going to get some kickball out there. We're going to do the balloon release. We're going to pray for beautiful weather, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. But if you're wondering who got recognized or, shoot, did I put that person on last year or whatever, you can look. Terry and I will have this at the back, and you can glance at this and see. And you can go online to do it, or Terry, right, you or I, or mm-hmm. if you want to let us know, and we will make sure it manually gets put in for you so you don't have to deal with the online stuff if you prefer not to do that.
And I believe the form is on the website for the viewers out there on the Internet.
It is.
If you want to recognize a veteran.
Yes, go to libertyyouthministries.com, libertyyouthministries.com, and Spring Valley Bible Church websites. It's in both places. If you'd like to honor a vet, we'd love for you to please do that.
15th, 3 p.m., put it on your calendars at Allen at Celebration Park, and we will have a great day.
Awesome. Thank you for that. Anything else this morning we need to be praying about? Do be in constant prayer for our country as we roll into this election. We'll see what God has in store, and we will be grateful for whatever it is.
What's Nick's status now?
Nick is doing pretty well. He still has some up days, some down days, but Nick, you want to give him any the 10-second version of, because I won't get more than 10 seconds out of you anyway. So he's good.
Good.
Yeah, see?
Can I just share one thing on Nick? His CD57 blood work number that back in February was 16, It's supposed to really be between 100 and 300. That was their first indication that he had Lyme. In June, right before camp, we did it to see how he was doing, and it was 48, so three times higher. And we just did it. It's right at 100. He's for the first time within a normal level. So even though his energy is not great and he's still on that cycle, that is huge praise and answered prayer that Nick, we're starting to see his body really starting to fight in. Some of those lines
fighting
a little bit. So, thank
you
all for your prayers.
Absolutely. Thank you for the prayers, and please continue them. Please be in prayer for our youth. We have had a couple of folks that we spoke to about Varian last week. He returned again for youth group on Thursday, and he brought one of our long lost friends from youth group back with him. So not only does he show up, he brings somebody with him. So hallelujah! Please continue to be in prayer for all of the youth across our different areas. They are in a crazy struggle with all that's going on with school and am I going to school? Am I not going to school? You know, the amount of stress that's in the youth today is just unbelievable, and we know what the answer is. So please be in prayer that they will continue to turn to the Word of God for the answers. So let's pray together, and then we're gonna open the Word for a few minutes. Yes, sir.
One thing we need to think that Pat made it home safely.
Yeah, absolutely. And Indiana's like, you didn't like go up there, give them all the, and then come back, right? Because it's blowing up there. I'm just kidding.
What happened is I left, and seven people in my office got COVID.
Nice.
After I left, so I got tested.
Yeah.
But I don't have symptoms at all.
Okay. Awesome.
None of them were sick.
We're going to move worship this morning to outside. Just kidding. Hey, y'all, we're in Texas. It's like, whatever. We're going to continue to move forward, and we're going to trust that the Lord will take care of all things. So that's the way that's how we don't stress about this stuff, and that's how we continue to move forward. So please be in prayer with me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time this morning as we open your word. We ask that the Spirit will be clear to help us understand what it is you want us to know. Father, we pray for this country. We pray for all those that are in leadership. And Father, we pray for the results to be exactly what you want them to be. It's so awesome, Father, to be able to come to you in prayer knowing you will do exactly what you want to do. And that will be perfect, and we will be in faith accepting of that. Father, we thank you for the church. We ask for all those that are led to give will reach deep into their pockets and provide some beans for gold this morning, as John likes to put it. And so, Father, we just thank you for all that you do for us each day. In Christ's name, amen. And on that note, I didn't forget the offering until I was praying, and then I remembered the offering. That was leading of the Spirit. So if you are led to give, there is a link on our Facebook site right now that you can go to. You can go to our website, and or you can drop some beans in the plate at the back as you leave today. So last week, we started in 2 Peter. And as I mentioned last week in 2 Peter, during the intro, this is really focused internally on the church, on believers, right? So the one before was how do we go external, and 1 Peter was about how do we go external, how are we an ambassador to the world. This is focused very much, 2 Peter is focused very much on internal, to the individual and to the church. How do we continue to grow to spiritual maturity? So last week we talked about a couple of things, some key points. Peter, who wrote this, was commissioned by Christ. Peter was coming to the believers as one of them, and Peter was Christ's servant first. That's his position. That's where he always put himself, was, I am a slave to Christ. And we talked about we have received a faith as precious as ours. So he comes to us in this conversation as believers in Christ, as being in Christ positionally. And we received these things based on the righteousness of God and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All have the same opportunity to exercise saving faith. God is an equal opportunity God. All are welcome. Once we receive the righteousness of God through faith, we are all in the same standing before God, and that is in a position of being in Christ. And then in verse 2, we talked for a second about grace and peace be yours in abundance, multiplied. Right? We continue to multiply the gifts of God. The gifts of God, righteousness, peace, are from His grace. They're not earned, they're not deserved, but they are given to us in abundance. And they can and will be multiplied as we continue to fulfill the will of God through the power of the Spirit. It says, through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. In both verse 1, God the Father and Jesus referred to equally in standing. And this is a study that Phil did recently that I would refer you back to if you have not heard it on the Trinity. It was fantastic. This is not academic knowledge. This is the gaining of the knowledge that fills your spirit, that is builds our relationship with God. And the term here is epinosis, or the word here is epinosis, which is much deeper than just an academic knowledge. It's not about knowing a whole bunch of stuff. It's about taking those things, putting it into your soul through the power of the Spirit, and then living those things out in your life and developing your relationship with God. And so those were some of the key things we talked about last week. I want to back up, and we're going to start, I'm going to read in verse 3, and we're going to cover verse 3 and 4 today, or cover verse 4, which we talked about 3 last week. But starting in verse 3 for context, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So in verse 3, as we spoke to last week, His divine power, God's divine power, is what gives us these things. He gives us everything that we need through His divine power. The power is in God. God is the one that has the power. When we run around and try to do these things ourselves, we're using our human power. First, we can't do it. We will fail. We will get discouraged. We will fall down. We can't be good enough through our own power. And second, we don't glorify Him. The intent of our lives is not to show how, you know, we can pull up our bootstraps and continue to move forward, or we can be good enough. The intent is to bring the glory to Him. If we're doing things ourselves, for ourselves, in our own power, that's arrogance. That's self-focus. That's the self-centered life. But God gave us everything we need to fulfill the plan of God, to work through the plan of the Father, the work of the Son, and the power of the Spirit. We have everything we need for a godly life. And what does it refer to in verse 3 as a godly life? This is reverence for God, turning away from our slavery to sin and our fleshly desires, turning to the will of the Father, to prepare our minds for action. And we talked through several of these things. Through our knowledge of Him, living a godly life, a life pleasing to God, is readily available to every one of us through our knowledge. Epinosis, our knowledge that develops a relationship with God. You have to know someone in order to have a relationship with someone. You can know about someone and not have a relationship, but in order to have a relationship with someone, you have to know them. Y'all, study of the Word of God is the way we get to know God, through the power of the Spirit and the fact that He is the one who enlightens us to these things. It takes the power of the Spirit. It takes the study of the Word of God. It takes an intimate relationship with our Father, our Savior, and with the Spirit of God. Who called us? All three members of the Godhead are involved in this calling, the plan of the Father, the work of the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit. A calling for every one of us to salvation, right? The washing away of sins and the new creation, where the penalty of sin is removed and the power of sin can be overcome. We're going to spend a few minutes in just a little while, in fact, sooner than I thought, in remembering what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross in the communion service. But this is what it's all about. He removed the sin, which was the separating factor between us and God, paid the penalty for it as our substitute, died on the cross to pay that penalty, because the penalty of sin is death. And because of what He did, all we have to do through faith, not our works, through faith, is believe in order to have all these things within us. And He called to us by His own glory. And so starting in verse 4, which says, Through these, through his own glory and his goodness, through these he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. So these things, his goodness and glory, has given us great promises. He's given us these at salvation, these great and precious promises. It's a grace gift. These are things he gives us. As we come to God, every single time we come to God, our position should be, God, what are you going to give me? Sounds strange. Sounds self-centered. It's not, because he's the only one that can give us anything. What do we offer him? Our faith. God, I believe you. I trust you. Work through me. What are you going to give me? And he just rains on us the graciousness, the love, the gifts that he gives us all the time. Great and precious promises. From the New Testament believers, Luke 24:49. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. The filling of the Spirit. What has God promised each and every one of us that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ? The filling of the Spirit. God lives inside of us. And I wanted to read something to y'all from it's Dr. Ralph Wilson. I really don't know his entire background. He has a website and some studies from Jesus Walk Bible Study Series, and I just thought this was really awesome and a great way that he had summarized things. It says, through his own glory and virtue, excellence, he has given us promises, very great and very valuable promises. Two things define God's promises. One, they are exceedingly, extraordinarily great. Y'all ever stop and read some of the promises and go, man, that is amazing. We should. They are of great and exceptional value. And we talked about this when we were studying 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1:19, the precious blood of Jesus. It's a promise for us. What he did on the cross is a promise for us. We should never forget that. Sometimes by reason of familiarity, we forget how great and precious God's promises are. Amen. Isn't that the truth? Those promises that have been fulfilled in Christ are certainly great and precious. These promises are all throughout the Old and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, that the Son of David, the Messiah, should come. A promise that he would bear all of our sins in his body on the cross. This was promises from Adam. From the garden, that Christ would crush the serpent. The promises which Christ makes to us about the present are precious and very great also. That we shall receive the Holy Spirit. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and we shall receive the Holy Spirit. God will live within us. That we have been adopted and now are in relationship to God as sons and daughters. We are the children of God. That God hears our prayers and answers them. Amen. God hears our prayers and answers them. That he will never leave us or forsake us. That we are loved in spite of our failures and our sins. The promises Christ makes about the future are equally precious and great. That God will meet every need that we have according to the extent of his riches. How big are his riches? Not his britches. His riches. His riches are big too. But huge. Huge. According to his riches. We get so focused on our lives and our riches and what we want that we forget about the part where all we got to do is trust God and live our lives in accordance with him. And the riches he will rain down on us. And I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm talking about the blessings of what we receive through the power of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit. Joy, love, peace, goodness, kindness, etc. That we will go to heaven when we die. Y'all, we don't worry about COVID-19 because if we die, we're going to heaven. That we will escape the penalty we deserve for our sins. That's a huge promise. Because y'all, we should be dying for the penalty of sin. We did it. But Christ died for us. That Christ will return and take us to himself. That's our hope. That our bodies, whether living or dead, at Christ's return will be raised and transformed. that we will rule and reign with Christ in the new heavens and the new earth. These are the promises that we can live our lives on. And so, as we're talking about verse 4, where he says, through these, his goodness and his glory, he has given us very great and precious promises, along with the 34 things that we receive at salvation, so that through them, these promises, we may participate in the divine nature, being escaped from the corruption of the world due to evil desires. So, why are these things promises? Why are they given to us? So we might become partakers of the divine nature. 34 things given to us at salvation. We can't be a part of the divine nature if we're not justified, if we're not saved. If there isn't salvation given to us through God, how can we participate in the divine nature? We would be natural man, right? We would have no spiritual being without the gifts and promises of God. We've been redeemed, reconciled, forgiven, propitiated, crucified, free from the law, citizens of heaven, royal priests, children of God. That we might become. So as we continue on in verse 4, why are these things given to us? So that we might become. This is a genomai, which is in the Greek, and it really means transitioning from one point to another. All right, so that we might become. We might transition from one thing to another. It means to become and signifies a change in condition or a state or place. So what are we? What is this that we are changing from to? We're changing from our natural state of as unsaved, non-spiritual, to the partakers of the divine nature. The partakers that we will share in, that we will be jointly belong to. Divine. It's God. We are in God, and God is in us. We take on God's very nature, His righteousness. It's a gift. We are given this gift of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. So at the point of salvation, we are a new creation. We have the righteousness of God within us and have the ability to partake or change from one, the position of being not in Christ to the position of being in Christ and participating in the divine nature. Being in Christ, we share the divine nature of Christ and all that it involves. In Adam, we participate in the fallen nature of mankind, the fully corrupt, self-focused, pride-stricken, natural man, unable to discern the spiritual. Then when we become believers, we have the choice. Are we going to participate in the divine nature and act like it? Or are we going to operate as a fallen man and being a carnal believer? One who is not discerning the spiritual, but has the ability to because of God the Spirit within us. We may be saved and dwelt with the Spirit, but acting like the natural man, living under the power of sin. That's not what we're called to do. We are not called to believe and then go back to being acting like the non-believer. We're called to participate and be a partaker of the divine nature. The spiritual man, saved, filled with the Spirit, partaking in the divine nature. I read something from a really old theologian. Actually, he's been gone for a long time. Matthew Henry is his name. Those who receive the promises of the gospel partake of the divine nature. They are renewed in the spirit of their mind after the image of God, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Their hearts are set for God and His service. They have a divine temper and disposition of soul. Though the law is the administrator of death and the letter of the law kills, yet the gospel is the administrator of life. And the Spirit makes alive those who are naturally dead in trespasses and sin. Those in whom the Spirit works, the divine nature, are freed from the bondage of corruption. Those who are, by the Spirit of grace, renewed in the spirit of their mind, are translated into the liberty of the children of God. For it is the world in which corruption reigns. Let that sit in for a second. When we're focused on God, when we are filled with the Spirit and living our lives in accordance with God's plan, we are living. When we're focused on ourselves, when we're focused on the world, when we're focused on the things not of God and not filled with the Spirit, how do we live? We live like everybody else who's dying. We're living like everybody else who's dying. Now, I'm not talking about physically, we're all dying. I mean, it's still 100% mortality rate. I love that saying. That's not, I mean, until Christ's return, we all might as well go ahead and put it in the calendar somewhere down in the future, die. Right? Just go ahead and mark it. It's going to happen. Unless Christ comes before then, at which point we all know we don't have to do it. Right? We all get, hopefully we all know that. But don't count on it. Because God doesn't tell us when He will return. So what is the divine nature? Galatians 5, 16 through 26 says this, and I'm not going to read all of it, but I'll read pieces of it. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You don't have to go down and make your list. Here's your 25 things you got to do. Oh, be nice today. Check. That was 5 minutes worth of pure misery, right? I got to do some good work, okay? Check. That took away from TV time, right? And so we go through and we have this list of all these 25 things we're going to do. That's not the law. That's not fulfilling what God says. Oh, don't be this, don't be that, don't do... No. It's being filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit and living in the Spirit. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I love the "and the like" part because that covers everything he didn't have to say. The debauchery of man. That's who we are. Total corrupt. Outside of the God living inside us, we have nothing to offer except debauchery and destruction. But with God living inside of us, we have to offer life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. There's not a list. Oh, go, by the way, be joyful. Good luck with that if you're doing all that stuff above, right? Peace, forbearance. All of those things that God says, hey, this is the way of the world. All of those things are totally contrarian to what God offers us through faith. But man, we spend our lives trying to get all that stuff up there on the top. We spend our lives chasing those things down. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying of each other. So, as we look back over verse 3 and 4, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises so that through them we may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. The last part, having escaped, this is a Greek word, apohuego, which means a complete separation from. When we're living in the power of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is being emanated from us through the power of the Spirit, we have a complete and total separation from our evil desires. If you're sitting there going, well, I'm kind of walking the fence, you know, I got a little bit of this and a little bit of this, that's not what we're talking about here. It's a complete and total separation from our evil desires. The decay of the world is caused by our evil desires. When did decay become part of the world? The moment Adam and Eve sinned. Adam sinned, specifically, as the responsible party there, or accountable party there, I should say. There was no decay before that. There was no evil desires before that. God gave them the opportunity and the volition to choose. And up until that point, nothing even died. There was no death. There was no decay. There was no total destruction. But from that point on, everything that we do is total destruction and total decay outside of the filling of the Spirit. So, a couple of points to talk about. First of all, God does all the work. Our salvation, our righteousness, our godly life, our partaking of the divine nature are all gifts from God. There is nothing that we did to deserve them, and there's nothing we can do to earn them, but He gives them to us through our faith. You are transformed in the divine nature to the likeness of Christ through the filling of the Spirit and the knowledge of our relationship with God. Have you ever gone through and looked at Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, and recognized that every single one of those things are when people say, oh, well, be like Christ. That's what they're saying. That's who He is. Every single one of those things. We're being transitioned, transformed into the likeness of Christ through the filling of the Spirit. We come to know God as He reveals Himself to us through the study of His Word and the power of the Spirit. There are so many things in this Bible that if you take them out of context or you decide you're going to address this as academic knowledge, that will you could argue with the words of the Bible how wrong the Bible is. Kind of like you can argue that the Constitution is all messed up by using the Constitution to say that the Constitution is all messed up. Right? But through the power of the Spirit, we can understand these things. We can understand the context. We can come take these doctrines and put them into our soul and live them in our lives. And the relationship that follows from that becomes incredibly clear. The will of God and the relationship that we have with Him and the truth of the Bible. As we transform in the divine nature to mature as Christians, our spiritual being grows and matures and we escape the spiritual decay of the world because of sin. Thinking back to Adam in the garden, there was no physical or spiritual decay. Environment was perfect. Sin entered the world through Adam, and death and decay also entered the world. The believer is a new creature. We are not of Adam, we are in Christ. Our physical body will decay, but we will continue to grow spiritually to be transformed in the likeness of Christ. We have the ability to continue to transform into the likeness of Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing, y'all. That's what we're supposed to be doing in the study of our word, of the Word of God, is transforming ourselves, taking these doctrines, applying them to our life through the power of the Spirit, through our faith in Him, and maturing as believers. Peter goes on to provide direction and calls the body of Christ, all of us, to pursue the path of spiritual maturity. In 2 Peter 1:5, which is next in our study here, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to pass out the list of here's the things that you need to do in order to be mature. If you guys would get back to me next week, on I'll send out a Google survey, and you can let me know how you're doing so I can focus my attention on those things. Yeah, absolutely. We'll put a scorecard and have some Pareto charts and other things. Julie and I, we get each other here on this one. We've worked together for a long time. that's not the intent. For this very reason, he starts out, for this very reason. What is this talking about? Because he has given us these precious promises. Because we are partakers of the divine nature. Because he gave us everything we need to live a life glorifying to Him. For this very reason, make an effort. Make every effort. Every sparrow, personally carry through. It's only used in 2 Peter referring to carrying through with real personal involvement. Make every effort. This strongly stresses the need of the believer's deep personal involvement in the faith life. Sometimes we look at the I believe, and we move on. And we go on and we do our stuff. He's talking about here, it takes effort. It doesn't take our work. It takes our faith, but it takes our commitment. I think we're going to be talking about commitment in the next couple of weeks, right? So, side note, Phil and I, we actually did not coordinate what we were going to be teaching, which is pretty funny because we don't coordinate clothes either. But I knew Phil was going to be teaching 2 Timothy and Titus, and 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and we were talking about that. And then last week I come in and I'm listening to Phil's teaching. And I'm like, dang, that's what I'm going to teach next hour. Shoot, I got to redo this. I have to have something original and something that people have never heard before. No, not really. But when we were talking about it, Phil says, you know, when the Holy Spirit makes it happen, just go with it. Just let's not worry about it. And watching Phil teach this morning, and then me come in this afternoon, or it's still morning, me come in right after him, and I'm like, okay, I keep going back to verse 12, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are truly established in the truth you now have. So we keep teaching the same stuff. Why? Well, I guess it's because the Holy Spirit wants to make sure we're making this really, really clear. And so, praise be to Him, because if Phil and I try to coordinate this, we would have messed it all up. But the fact is that there is a commitment. And I'm excited to hear what you teach out of 2 Timothy on commitment. But make every effort. Personally carry through. This strongly stresses the need of a believer's deep personal involvement in the faith life. Faith is a deep personal involvement. It's not a saying, a dismissal, okay, I don't need to think about that. That's not faith. If I take something on faith just because I ignore it, or I don't want to know about it, or I don't care about it, it's just faith, that's a dismissal. The faith that we're talking about is a deep personal involvement in the faith life. It takes effort. It takes effort. It's God's power, but it takes effort, y'all. We build on these things in our life, right? Pursuing the Christian life takes energy, it takes time, it takes study, it takes prayer, it takes service, it takes faith, it takes wherever God takes us to be willing to do it. It takes our, what do you always say? It doesn't take our, what's it? There you go, thank you. It doesn't take our ability, it takes our availability. I'm sorry, Ted, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. You're like, I have no idea what he's talking about, man. He was on a roll, and then he clicks to me, and I'm like, I don't know how to pick this up. Sup? Shoot. That's what happens when you call somebody on the spot, and the Spirit should have told you what that was. We need to talk, Trey. No, in fairness to Trey, that was not cool at all. Pursuing a Christian life takes energy, it takes time, it takes study. It takes a deep personal commitment. Coming to the Word, coming to study, coming to being a part of the congregation, coming in and learning the Word of God takes study. Our pastor spends 10 hours plus a day, 6 days a week for 45 years. I would call that a bit of a personal commitment. Y'all may argue with me on that. But that's what we receive through the study of our pastor, who is a faithful teacher. And God said, hey, you know what? I'm going to hold you onto the side for a little while. I want to see what happens here. That's God's work, y'all. That's God's work. And He has a plan. And it may be hard. But it takes study. It takes prayer. It takes service. Prayer life. Prayer life takes deep personal investment. It takes time. Thank you, God, for this food. Amen. Mildly personal, somewhat invested because you probably don't want to get sick. But where's the deep personal involvement? Service. Faith. Peter is calling the believers to a commitment to follow Christ and pursuing spiritual maturity. That's what we're called to do. Pursue spiritual maturity. All the things that come from that, we get rewarded for. But it's all done through the power of the Spirit. A 20-minute feel-good lesson on Sunday morning is not deep personal involvement. We have a faithful pastor who teaches us deep personal involvement, and we're very blessed. Every one of us needs to evaluate our personal involvement. That's not for me to evaluate. You can't evaluate somebody else's. That's between them and the Lord. But we should take time occasionally to evaluate that. I won't send out a Google survey and I won't put any Pareto charts up on what your responses are, but take the time to do that. by no means am I saying that we need to check the 12-hour-a-day box. We each need, in prayer, to evaluate our commitment and to grow in the knowledge and the power of Christ and add to your faith. Add to your faith. Supplement. This is one of those big Greek words I can't say. But it's epikourago. Close? Cool. I have my own personal linguist who tells me thumbs up or thumbs down on that. We all do, and are blessed by that as well. Epikouragesetho, or something of that nature. It's an aorist active imperative. The reader who is in Christian through his faith is a partaker of the divine nature because of this certain reality is to supplement his faith with goodness, moral excellence. This is the recognition that our starting point is faith. Our starting point is faith. And then everything from there is built off of that faith, continuing with faith. We receive moral excellence through our faith, through the power of the Spirit. But we are to pursue those things. We are to pursue those things. Colossians 2, this is the recognition that our starting point is faith. We offer nothing except our faith for salvation and for our walk. But this is a command. This is God's intent for our life, is to, through study, through the filling of the Spirit, is to continue to add to our faith moral excellence. Rather than add, supplement might be a better word. Add to your faith or supplement goodness. And what is goodness? We'll finish here. Mark 10:18, and Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." No one is good except God alone. In this passage where the man came to Jesus asking to obtain eternal life, Jesus knew the man was asking about human goodness, which adds nothing. So in this passage, the man came up to Jesus and asked about how to obtain eternal life. Jesus knew that the man was asking about how much human goodness would I need to have in order to obtain him eternal life. And how to mimic this, how to mimic Jesus. Well, Jesus corrected the man not by denying his deity, but by pointing to him to the Father where goodness is found. Ariete, properly known or called virtue, which is displayed to enrich life, right? So moral excellence. Same word used in 2 Peter 1:3, called by his own glory and goodness. We are to study the Word of God. We are to have a deep personal involvement in the study of the Word of God and growing our relationship with God through our faith. And because of that, we will continue to add to our faith goodness. Goodness that is from God. But it takes effort. God's power. But we need to be involved through a personal effort to get there. I like when Pastor Maddox uses the analogy of, you know, the man sitting on the park bench in faith. You sit on the park bench long enough and pray that God will take care of everything in faith, He's going to make you get up off the park bench. It's His will. It's not His will for us to sit there and watch the world go by. It's to live. It's to live in Christ. It's to display moral excellence in Christ. It's to do these things in Christ. And we're going to talk about several other things that we will add, not to our list of 25, check the box, but we will add to our character, to our virtue, to who we are as a Christian in the transformation from who we are now to the likeness of Christ through the power of the Spirit and the study of the Word of God. That will impact our lives in such a way that it will affect us to do something. Whether that's pray or serve or study more or disciple or work with youth or make cards to send to our veterans. Whatever it is God has planned for you, if it's done in the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit, it will be glorifying to Him and it will be edifying to us. And the cool part is, and I'll kind of jump to the punchline, there in verse 10, and I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Maddox here. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things we're talking about adding to and continuing to move forward, you will never stumble, meaning you will not fall away from the will of God. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about how, you know, adding more things to this as we progress in our spiritual walk. But as we walk away, it is not in our power, but it does take a deep personal commitment. With that, I am going to turn this over to Pastor Maddox, who is going to do the communion service for us, and we will close from there.
That it? Okay. First of all, I want you to realize the grace and the mercy that has been going on for months. You've had four different pastors. Now three here, and then when I was. And no contradiction. That is amazing. I mean, even Paul and Peter had a tete-a-tete toward each other. We've had four different men, different paths, different preparation, totally together. That is just amazing. I am so thankful that we don't have, well, I want to start something new. I've found a new input here. No, just this is the Word of God. And I thank God for the consistency that has been going on in this assembly over the last several months and will continue to go on. Now, next, does anyone not have their preparation for the communion? Anyone not have it? All right, let's get them. I'd be sure everybody has one. Now, we have two of them that I know of that need it. The pastor's wife didn't wear it. And then your son over here. There we go. Now, there we are.
Pastor's wife and that other guy's family.
Okay, today we're going to begin with a communion service. I want you to know the five steps in regard to the communion service. First of all, in the age of the Gentiles, there was an offering, and it was an offering in regard to the death, burial, and resurrection. And we saw this in the Old Testament. And then we saw it with Job, and gave it very clearly. Then we moved into the age of Israel. In the age of Israel, we had the communion service, but it was there given in a academic of worship, and was going to be presented in a new covenant later on. Then we go to the church age. Church age, we have what we have now, the communion service. Then after that, have an interesting 7 years. We call it the 7 years of the tribulation. It really is 7 years that belongs to the history of Israel. These are 7 years that belong to Israel. So that celebration period will be a redundance of what's going on, what went on in the Old Testament to the age of Israel with the Passover. Then we go to the millennium, and that was interesting, because in the millennium we have a new period, a new communion, or a new coming together, covenant, a new covenant given to us by Jeremiah 31. Now let's go back to ours. Ours has three major things in it. As a present, a past, a present, and a middle. The past is the cup. We take of the, or the, excuse me, the bread. The bread represents the death, burial, resurrection of our Savior. Then we go to the present. And that is where we remember that Jesus Christ has given every one of us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Whether or not you use it or not is a whole other issue. But that is the present. Then there is the future. And that is the new covenant that's talked about in our own presence in 1 John 11. So, what did I say, 1 John? All right, 1 Corinthians 11. So, this the three things, the past, the bread, the present, which is the cup, which represents the giving of the Holy Spirit, and then the future, which is the new covenant, which is reminding us now what is going to be taking place in the millennium when Jesus Christ begins the new covenant for the nation of Israel. They will all have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the speaking of the Holy Spirit. No one at the beginning will even move from that. They'll all be speaking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Then, as you move into history and new births are given and all, it will change. So we're in this wonderful period of history known as the communion, the which we are getting ready now to manifest. The Lord's Supper is given to us by the Lord, through Paul in the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I receive from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. There's so much going on here. We've studied it many times, but it just amazes me. In this beginning of it, he talks about the betrayal of Jesus Christ. Then, so this is where we have the giving of the bread. So let's take the bread. And it says here, and when he has given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I don't like that as much as the other. Then after that, we go to the cup. And again, I just remind you, you got the past as the bread, and then the cup has the present and the future. The presence is the giving of the Holy Spirit, which is, tells us how to live our lives while he is not here. He is not here. The disciples were in shock. Well, how are we supposed to live? He goes to this place in Israel. We know we follow him there. If he goes down to Jerusalem, we'll follow him. We'll just follow him. But now he's not here. So what are we going to do? And that's where we are in the church age. Every one of us are so different. That's why we have different ways, different life, different everything. But the same Holy Spirit guiding us to fulfill our purpose on earth during this period. Then we go to, again, that third, which is the future, the new covenant. So therefore, we read of that in verse 25. In the same way, same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Now that new covenant is talked about in Jeremiah 31. But we are on it with this remembrance in the third part, the future part of our own offering of the communion service. Now, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you think of it, and when you think of it in remembrance of me. Now, when we sing, I'm going to ask you to stand together and just sing the first, second, and last verse. First, second, and last verse. And that will be our closing prayer. So let's pray and sing together.
What page?
111. 111. Yes, 111. When I survey the wondrous cross.
It's coming.
Celebration of the communion here. This is going to be an important month. This is the first month of the day, or the first day of the month. It's an important month as far as the history politically of this nation. So no matter what happens, you remember who's in control.